Have you ever had somebody tell you, you need to try this, you need to go to this restaurant and try this chicken, try that? Have you ever had anybody say, I don't know if I'm going to like it? Then you finally go and you taste it and you say, what took me so long to try it? Has that ever happened to you? Or everybody say, you should see this movie, and you don't go see the movie. You say, well, you see, you finally go see the movie, you say, why did I wait so long? I love that movie. When you start praising God, when you start lifting your hand, when you start doing these things and you start feeling that spirit rise up, you're going to say, why didn't I do it sooner? That's just the way it is. It's the way the reward you give to God. I don't care if you see us up here playing and singing, whatever, but the more you give to God, as He's out there watching, He's watching, He's seeing, He just wants to be loved, He wants to be adored. The more you give to God, you and God, the more He can shine on you, the more He can put in you, and the more He can trust you with the things of Him. That's so beautiful. When you let go and let God, you want to see everybody shout hallelujah. That's just so powerful. People outside on the street are going to hear you shout hallelujah. They're going to say, maybe we should go in there. If we don't shout it, who's going to tell the people on the green? Not the people selling the vegetables. They're too busy with business. God bless them. I'm going to go buy some cucumbers later. But they're not going to tell them the good news. You got to do it. When I say everybody shout hallelujah, and you shout it, the whole town of Derby hears it. And then what happens? Victory in God. Give them praise.
Oh,
you're thinking too much, or you think that we get excited just because we're playing the music. Let me tell you, last night I watched on TV Billy Graham, one of his crusades. I sat on my couch watching him. I wasn't saying a word. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't teaching. I was listening to this man talk about God, talk about Jesus and the cross, saying, leave your dirty clothes right there. Take it all off. Remove every garment on you that is filthy and with sin. We are all sinners. He said, leave it and come to the cross. Walk to the cross. Lift your hands up. Give it to Christ. Let me tell you, my tears were in my eyes. I almost stopped, stand up, stood up, and got salvation again. I mean, I thank God that I have my salvation. But his movement, his words weren't about Billy Graham. You weren't seeing Billy Graham. You were seeing a man talking about one person, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I was moved sitting on that couch just listening to him, seeing his heart. He had a little piece of paper in front of him. He was just reading from his heart. He was talking about Jesus, and he wasn't letting go. And the whole place was packed. Thousands of people there. And he called people down for salvation. And he says, you know why? He said, because God wants to see that you're not ashamed of it. He said, why do I got to come down? He said, because you got to make that effort. You got to show God. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But don't be ashamed of me. He said, stand up, come on down. And thousands of people came down. And my heart was full listening to what he was saying about that. That's why he was victorious.
He said, you don't
want
to come alone. I understand. Bring your sweetheart. Bring your friend with you.
You know, and you don't have to give them $1,000. You didn't have to buy anything. You just come down and get that salvation. He said, you take that step. Just remove things that are binding you and keeping you from the love of Christ. And when you receive that love and it really gets here, you will be so blessed. You will be the ones they're talking about. When you come to this church, we all talk about Elder Pat. Tell me if I'm wrong. Oh, I can't wait to get my hug. You can all be giving people hugs. She's the best one at doing it. But you all can be saying, everybody in that church hugs me. To be according to the word of God. Not according to our flesh and what we think, but according to God. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to sing from Psalm 13.
See, you know that God is with you. Just give it to God. Whatever.
can prosper. Just repeat that word. Nothing formed against me can prosper. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Nobody can stand in that light. But our sons and daughters, us believers.
Without offering and you offering any sacrifice, you won't appreciate it. But he's going to make you walk through some of those storms so that you can be stronger and tell others who've walked through those storms before you and lift people up who are fighting the same battles you're fighting. That's what God does. We can make this town shine differently. We can do it with him. Amen. Between us, we can't do anything, but with God, we can do all things. Amen. I believe it. Now stand up and pray with me this morning. You're praying to your Father who's my Father. We're praying together, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who... Hallelujah. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. The kingdom and what? If it's the power, then release it. Release what's coming against you and let the power take over. Be seated, brothers and sisters. Get yourself comfortable. Hallelujah. Welcome to God's house. It's Sunday again. Hallelujah. Keep our friends who aren't here in prayer today. Walter and Jean are on their way to Nova Scotia. And Walter likes to drive. So pray for Jean. It's the truth. When we drive anywhere, you pray for my wife. Hallelujah. Nellie, how are you? Is Dominic in Texas? Syracuse, okay. Well, we're glad you're here with us today, right by the fan. That's a good spot. You got one of the best seats in the house. Praise the Lord. responsive reading this morning, brothers and sisters. Psalm 37. Marilyn picked this one out. I always smile when she picks one out because it always seems to go along with everything we're preaching. And we don't talk as much as we should and laugh. And I just like her when she just talks to God. So, do not fret because of evildoers. Hallelujah. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Your turn.
They shall soon be cut down like grass and wither to the green earth.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart.
Hallelujah. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday.
Who's going to do it?
God.
Hallelujah. Rest in the Lord, oh my God. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Oh my God, that one sentence, that's, oh Lord, I was right there. I might as well close the book. I don't know how to do it. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass.
Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm.
What does it cause?
Harm.
On who? Us. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble.
And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him.
Hallelujah. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, what I've learned about God, maybe some of you have also learned it. If you don't rest, if you keep going and going and going and you don't rest because of whatever, sooner or later He's going to make you rest. Sooner or later He's going to put you in a place where you have no choice but to rest, because He said rest makes you healthy. Rest makes you whole. Rest gives you that peace that surpasses all our understanding. Rest makes you healed. And then you're ready to face the battle. Amen. If you're all withered out and stuff, when the battle comes and you haven't rested, you're going to fall like a leaf in September. Amen. Praise God. God is good, amen?
All the time.
Knowing His word is good, amen? Mm-hmm. Leaning on Him is good, amen? Something's happening in November in our country, amen? And those wonderful people are doing what they're doing, that's what they do. But they won't do for us what God will do for us in our life right here in Derby, amen? They won't. They can't possibly. But God knows all our needs. And if we trust Him, no matter what's happening in the world, especially what's happening in the world, He will raise us up. Amen? That's the joy. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to know that God more every day? Here's a testimony. I'm going to read from Matthew. Then when He had come to the other side, Jesus had come to the other side, to the country of Gardenis, there met Him two demon-possessed men. How many? Demon-possessed. Now, what are demons? Truly, simple, what are demons? Fallen angels. They're simply fallen angels. And we're going to read that later. Angels who wanted power like God. Angels who wanted to be equal with God. Angels who sided with Lucifer, who was the shining star in heaven. He was the shining. You read about what he looked like and the beauty and the jewels. He was listen to why music is so important. He was the music minister in heaven. He knew. So when you hear this music that are tearing kids apart, you know that he's got a hand in that. But he was the beauty of beauties, and he wanted more power. And the angels left with him. And those are the demons. It's that simple. Somebody said to me, there's seven demons in that building over there. I said, they're going to stay over there. Because they come out in the light, they're going to be gone. Because the light shines right here. Amen. And it shines with you. Wherever you go, the light shines. I got off on that. That was longer than that one. Two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Isn't that amazing? The Pharisees and scribes didn't know who he was, Miss Pat, but the demons knew him immediately. They just saw him and said, you Son of God, what do we have to do with you? Have you come here to torment us before the time? The demons know that their time is numbered, Greg. They know it. The Bible says so. So they saw him and they said, what are you going to come and attack us before the time comes? What do we have to do with you? Now, a good way off from there, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out of these two guys, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And listen to what God says. This is, you people argue with demons, and you're worried about, listen to what Jesus said. And he said to them, go. That's all he said. That's all he had to say. Amen. With God, that's all he just said, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. The people who kept the swine, they ran away and told everybody about what happened. And behold, the whole city, how much? Came out to meet Jesus, right? Victory, right? They came to see Jesus, the guy who did this, right, to them. And they saw him and they begged him. They did what? To depart from their region. He could have healed them. He could have given them salvation. He could have led them to more. He could have given them everything that they ever wanted, their heart's desire. But their greed and their not wanting to know who they were more worried about their daily life and what they had in those swine than they were. Jesus, the demons knew who he was. These people saw what he did. And the first thing they said is, please leave. Because we have our own gods. We've made up our own gods. And here's the thing, these people, with their own gods, Lisa, they could do what they wanted according to their God. They could say what they want according to their God. They can do whatever pleased them according to their God. But with Jesus, they knew right away, With Jesus, they knew right away, this guy's the real deal. And instead of asking for salvation, instead of saying, oh, Son of God, and getting on their knees and saying, bless me, they say, get out. How many times do we do that? How many times have we walked away from God? How many times have we not allowed God to fill us because we were so full of ourselves? How many times I've done it? I've been all my life. I know what I've been doing. I know where I've taken God when I was a young man. And he was there with me. Amen. How many times do we do that sometimes during the day that we don't have time for God? We'll have to have the drive-through communion because we don't have time for God. Amen. We do that. But we are heirs to the kingdom. We fall short daily, but we are heirs to that kingdom. We are sons. Amen. He calls us friend. So don't let that. But I'm just trying to tell you that daily, sometimes we forget who we're with and who loves us. These people saw. They had something you didn't even have. They saw Gary. They saw him take the demons and they said to him, get out. If he came in here today and he healed somebody, he just gave you a blessing, would everybody else say, get out, or get on your knees and say, help me, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Whenever we let go of anything not from God, we then allow God to fill that void and allow God to lead us. We can never put anything, our feelings, our thoughts, above God or ahead of God. We, who? Hallelujah. We must learn every day to be willing vessels, ready always to receive. Our prayer this morning is our gain will be then be more than we could have gained for ourselves. When God lifts us and heals us, He can place us where His blessings can fall, where our actions and our testimony actually bring others to God and our enemies to our friends, God's ways. Our prayer this morning and our testimony is release anger, self, and pride. Release worldly values. And God, our Jesus, will fill you with joy, unspeakable joy. And these are Jesus' words, that your joy may be full. It's so simple, and we make it so hard. No matter what you do today, He will love you tomorrow. No matter what you say today, He will love you tomorrow. He knows your heart. He knows your battle between your heart and your mind. Whatever you do today that's not of God, He will love you tomorrow. Whatever walk you're on, He will lead you tomorrow. He will guide you tomorrow. But the more your eyes turn to Him, the easier it will be for Him to guide you. It's that simple. He's made it that simple. All he asks is that you love him. Truly love, adore, and worship him. And let him lift you. Because all your words are never going to get you to where God can get you. But just one blessing. So help us, Lord, today to make this church stronger, our lives stronger, our families. Each and every week I say this, Lord, it's for our families and our loved ones. And for those who have come against us in the past, let them see the change. Let them see the difference. And then they'll come and ask. And we can even bring our enemies to the table of Christ. We can bring them there. Imagine the people that you despise the most. You can bring them to that love and see God and people who have come against you. And then you all can lift them up together. What a blessing. What a gift, and it only comes from God. It only comes from Jesus in this word. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for leading us, Lord. We're going to be that empty vessel. What we thought we knew when we walked in here today, we're going to realize we know nothing. What we thought we knew in the place we were, we're going to realize we don't know nothing that we know. We're going to be that empty vessel, and we're going to let you fill it. You fill us, and then you will lift us. And our victories, our greatest victories, and this church's greatest victories are yet to come. In Jesus' name I pray.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us. And grant us thy peace. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Greg. Greg gave him praise first. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know it's warm and hot, so when you get to where you're too hot, you just let me know, because I have a sermon today that's fun. I have a sermon today that's full of joy and full of peace and full of knowledge and full of helping you and lifting you up. Amen. And it's so much that maybe I'll have to finish next week, because I've never been so at peace doing a sermon than I have been this week. Because it ministered to me, amen? And when it ministered to me the way it did, I said, I got so much, Sergio. I want you to have peace beyond the peace you have right this minute. We're going to talk about angels. Anybody believe in angels? You better raise your hand. Y'all better raise your hand. Now, how many remember when I was a kid, I thought an angel was a little thing flying in the clouds, and people thought when a little baby died, they became an angel in heaven, and we all saw them little thing, but angels very powerful creatures. They're made, created. I'm sorry, they were created, guess for who? For you, friend. For God. Amen? Worship. Angels around us. Now, everybody sees those movies and demons, and I'll tell you what, you start talking to somebody about demons, and they're going to buy everything. They're going to sit and listen to every word you have, every story about demons. They want to hear about it. We're going to talk about the victory side. Amen? Psalm 91 says, hallelujah. Let me read that. That's hallelujah. I'll read that first. I got a lot of turning to do. So if you get a little warm, I know I don't want to rush this. I don't want to be like I've been in churches before. They said, well, just cutting it short. I don't want to cut it short. I don't want to rush. And if it means you have to come back next Sunday, oh well. Psalm 91 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Who has made it? You. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Listen to this. For he, who? God, shall give his angels, whose angels? Charge over you. Amen? To keep you in all your ways, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, how many have ever thought God had a guardian angel? Anybody hear that? We have a guardian angel. The Bible just changed that. Listen, he will give his angels guard over you. Amen. Not one. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that they're standing right alongside you. They don't have to be. They know what's going to happen. He gives angels, Sergio. Angels around you. Amen. That means all the time. That means you're never alone. One of the functions of angels is to watch over believers. It just said that. He said, I will give you angels to watch over you, to charge you, to keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. Angels. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, do you not know that we shall judge angels? Has anybody ever taught you that? Bonnie, anybody have taught you? You're going to judge angels, John. You know why? Because you're going to judge the fallen angels because you're an heir to the kingdom. You're higher than the angels. As for right now, you're not, because we're in the flesh. Amen? We can't do and be where the angels are. We can't have that power right now. So we're lower than the angels for now. But as after, when Jesus comes back, we are going to judge the fallen angels. Paul said that. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Those who have fallen from grace. Hallelujah. Now Hebrews says, listen to what it says. Hebrews 1:14 said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Who is that? You better raise your hand. You're inheriting it. That's your inheritance. You want to leave things to you? How many want to leave things to your kids? Come on, say it. Well, Jesus has left something for his kids. Your inheritance. It's, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? They are sent to teach us, to lead us, and to protect us. Amen? Amen? We're talking about angels, Jackie. Real life stuff. Now listen to this. I know Dave, you're going to like this. This is in Hebrews. This is a beautiful scripture about angels. Okay, they listen to this. Paul's saying, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You may have seen somebody outside a grocery store that needed water and you gave them a water. You might have seen somebody at a gas station that needed gas and you bought them $5 worth of gas. You might have done something or gave something or helped something. Somebody was cold and you gave them a jacket. And the Bible, what says it? The Bible says we might not know, but that person might have been an angel that we help. And God would do that. God would send somebody that you don't even know and said, he want to see, you know what he wants to see right here? Are you talking it or are you walking it? If you saw somebody across the street and they were falling down and they were hurt and you said, I'll pray for you, and you kept walking, what have you done? But if you went over to them and you took a cloth and wiped their blood away, or you held them and you sat them down, what are you doing? You're tending to them. You're ministering to them. Amen? And the Bible says, you don't know. That could have been an angel. Amen? An angel. Do not forget to entertain strangers. God may send somebody in need to you in a place where you can help, just to see what your response is. To lift up, to help, to give comfort. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Angels, what do they do? I read this little bit at 4 memorial services that we've had. Elder Pat, when we prayed for somebody at the parting, that was their victory party. I've read this. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar man named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died. These words are written in red, just so you know. And was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That tells me right there that at our time, when your time arrives, you won't be alone. When your time arrives, there'll be angels there waiting to take you, to hold you, to lift you. Angels, right there. And that, those words, Gary, were written in red. So if anybody wants to doubt me, you're doubting what the Word of God says. You're doubting what Jesus said. He spoke that in Luke. Angels. Angels coming at Lazarus, the beggar man. And they used the beggar man because God didn't want you to think that you had to be special. Don't do it. You had to do something special. You had to love special. You had to be important. He said, no, you are already as important as you're going to be in God's eyes. Amen. He loves you as much now as if you be whatever you became. If you became, forgive me, the Pope, he would not love you any more than he loves you right now sitting in this church. Amen. Amen. He loves his people like you love your children. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. One of my favorite, when you read the Bible, you're going to be able to say someday, oh, these are my favorite stories. My favorite stories in the Bible. And I'll love that for you, Marty. When you come to me and tell me one of your favorite stories in the Bible, I'll know that you're getting in the Word of God. When you come to me, Sergio, say, you know what I really loved when I read it? That it gave me so all kinds of stuff that I loved it. That last scripture I read, I've used that at victory parties when people have passed, because that is their victory party. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come and call you, rise and go with them, but only the words which I speak to you, that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the prince of Moab. You have to know the part of this story is God knew that Balaam was going to be disobedient. God had told Balaam three times not to do what he's about to do, but Balaam's greed got in the way. See, Balaam was promised wealth. He was promised jewels. He was promised power. If he would only do one thing, only do one thing, curse the Israelites. The Israelites were coming. And Moab wanted him, as a prophet of God, to curse them. And he said, no, I can't do it. And they came and they offered him some more. And he said, no, I can't do it. Then they came and offered some more. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And he went to God, and God said to him, okay, you're going to do it? This is what you speak. But he knew, just like us, that no matter what the Word of God says, sometimes we do the opposite. How many can say amen to that? Yes. That we know the Word of God, but we're going to go out there and we think, well, God might not see this. I'll just do this, and he'll forgive. He won't see this.
Praise the Lord.
Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, in all honesty, this angel of the Lord, I believe, is Michael. As I read more later, we get into it next week, you might agree with me that it is Michael. It's the angel is in capital letter. But I believe, because of what I read, that this angel is actually the archangel Michael. And the angel of the Lord stood, took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. I remember Balaam is blinded by greed, and God knows. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey, the who?
Donkey.
Saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey and turned her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. Don't you say a word about a wall. I don't want to hear nothing about a wall. Just didn't want to. The wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord with his sword up, she laid down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and he struck the donkey with his staff. You tell me who God can use. You'd be surprised who God can use to come against you. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, he's talking to the donkey, because you have abused me. And Balaam said, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey and what you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, oh, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have also killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. A new attitude. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, you shall speak. So Balaam went with the prince of Balak. Hallelujah. We get lost in what we want sometimes. Even though we know it's not from God, even though God isn't leading us, we get lost like Balaam. Blinded that we don't even see God standing in front of us. And Balaam, his story, see, he was a prophet. He knew the word of God. He knew what he was doing. But because of greed and because of what he wanted to obtain, he allowed that to blind him. And the angel of the Lord stood there with a sword, and it was the donkey, the lowest of low, that saw the angel that saved his life. You never know who's God's going to send to save your life. You might say, I don't believe a donkey can talk. Well, that's up to you. But I'm telling you that it might be a donkey who leads you to salvation. It might be something that leads you that no one would ever expect. Amen? And this story is not only about an angel who was sent to do something. It's about people who walk without having God lead them. Amen? Following what their desires are instead of what God's desires are for them. Amen? If God has given you a desire of your heart, he will not take it away. If he has blessed you with a talent, he will not take it away. If he has blessed you to be a CEO, he will not take it away. But he will raise you higher than you could have ever raised if you let him. He will raise your business higher than you could ever know because he will do it for you. He will do it as long as you put him first. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Satan was thrown out of heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to hear about Michael. Michael's the archangel. He's the prince of, he's going to fight our battles. He's the warrior. He's the warrior angel. He's the angel that's going to fight for you. And there's another angel that they mention in the Bible. His name is Gabriel. How many have ever heard Gabriel? Have you heard that name mentioned? Gabriel is the messenger, Jim. He's the messenger. Gabriel, the messenger from God. Luke 1:19, he says, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. Gabriel also said this, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Who said, he said that to who? Mary. He's the messenger. He's the one that's sent. We're going to read, next week I'll read in Judges, and I'll read in Daniel how he spoke to Daniel. Next week I want to read about Michael, how he spoke, how he helped. Amen. The things that he does today, today in this world. You got prayers that go out. And there's called powers of and principalities, the spirit world, amen? The spirit world, which I truly believe with all my, it's alive and well. And Michael is the warrior. Michael is the warrior who helps the angels bring the blessings through. And the Bible will tell you that some of the angels fought and they could not prevail if it were not for Michael coming to their rescue, coming as a warrior, amen? These are real in your life. These are real around you. These are real angels sent from who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. I want you to listen to this. Then he said to me, the angel said to John, listen to this, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. And he says two words, worship God. Hallelujah. Battles between good and bad, answers to our prayers, but we must stay strong in faith and in our word. Victory for all believers. Amen? So I will just tell you this, church. God is watching. God is leading. God is leading this church. God brought you here today. Today. Your church. Will you follow? Give him praise, church. It's up to you. We'll share more on Daniel and about the angels and Michael because it's so powerful. It's so spirit. So you might want to meet an angel, but then again, maybe not because they'll put you on your knees. I mean, just the Spirit of God being that close to you will bring you to a place that you might not even feel like you can breathe. You might feel so awestruck that you have to, and he will touch you. The Bible says he touched Daniel. And the Bible said he touched John, and when he touched him, his strength came back to him. Amen. So never fear anything from God. Never fear anything from the Bible. Never fear anything. Rejoice in all things with God. Amen. Give him praise again, church. These are your promises. That's your God. Those are your angels. You're never alone. You're never without. Never. He is with you. He sends his angels to guard over you. He'll lead you. He will lift you. Jesus did it all for us on that cross. We must come every day as sinners to that cross. We must come in need. We must come as empty vessels, allowing him to fill. If you come with anything added, he cannot fill it. Or you come with a bottle 3/4 full, he can only put just that much in. But if you come with an empty vessel, he can fill it. He did this for us. We didn't ask. We didn't earn it. We could never be worthy. But he loved us that much. And he asked that we do this in this church in remembrance of him. Hallelujah. How great this church becomes revolves around how much we want to give to God, how much we want to let him in, how much we want to let him into our hearts and our lives, because we are only strong when we are strong together. We are only a light when we're bright together. The brighter that light, the stronger the church, the stronger you are, and your family will come and see. Your families will come, your friends will come and see the difference because we're preaching his word in this church. This town will not be the same. I believe it. I might be the only one. I might be standing here sounding like a crazy man, but I know what God can do, and I know that if we just give it to God, he will do it. Hallelujah. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. We can all be Elder Pats. We can all hug. We can all love. We choose to do one or the other. And one or the other is not right or wrong. But if you want to be remembered for love, if you want to be remembered in a way that you never thought possible, give that kind of love and people will remember you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just the other day, I believe it was McDonald's, not Dunkin' Donuts, at McDonald's. I made my order and went around and I heard the guy say, well, that's that nice guy. He's always smiling. Right? You remember that? My heart was full. How many people he sees today and he remembered me because of how I treated him, what I said to him. And it just, you can do that everywhere you go. I believe it. You can change people's hearts. They could be angry and you can give them love and that anger is gone. All because of Jesus and what he did first for us. Do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. He took the wine and poured it into a cup. And he said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Let no man tell you that you're not an heir to the kingdom who loved Jesus. He did this for us.
Jesus. Thank you, Father.
What was it?
Can you read that?
I'll read that in a minute again. Thank you, Father. You think I'm crazy? You think I'm insane that I love God like that? Then you just, I dare you to try it yourself. Dare you see how it's going to just come over you and become who you are. You'll be driving in your car and you'll start praying about something. You'll see something in the sky so beautiful and you'll start seeing God. And it just changes you. Can't be the same. I know my brothers here who take some time in the fall to go out in the woods. I know when they look around, they see things that are so beautiful that they wish they could just keep it forever in their thoughts. And they see God. They see it all. It's so beautiful to be alone with Him. Thank you, Lord. Reach out to somebody that you can help. Maybe things are in your life that are going a little off center. Maybe things in your life that you just bring in your frustration. I say, use that, then you must have time that you can help somebody else. Even if it's for an hour a day, put yourself away for an hour a day helping somebody else. That takes your mind off of you. That helps somebody else. That's blessing them. And it comes back to bless you because you realize that hour you help somebody turned into two. And you'll realize that joy that you have is from God because you're doing His work. But it all starts with Jesus. As Billy Graham said, come to the cross. Come to the cross and let Him love you. We remember in Jesus' name.